Let us read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I draw your attention again to that phrase which we find in verse 4, the glorious gospel of Christ. In a past message we considered the one who resisted this glorious gospel of Christ, Satan himself, why he opposes the gospel and blinds the minds of men to it, lest that gospel should shine in and they should be converted and be saved. And then I considered with you the gospel of Christ, why it is that it's glorious, why Paul saw it to be glorious, why it was glorious to him, because of its experience and power in his life, because of its divine origin and source, because of its gloriousness in time and duration. It's the everlasting gospel. And because of the design and purpose that it has, not only to save man, but to glorify the eternal and everlasting God, especially to glorify his wisdom and his grace. But it's also glorious because of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sum and substance of that gospel. It's a glorious gospel because it's about the glorious Son of God, the one who came into this world for us sinners. So it's glorious in its heart and centre. It's glorious in its light and warmth, because at its heart is the love of God in Christ to sinners. It's glorious because it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. It contains great things. It's about great things. And at its heart is this great person, this glorious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the glorious gospel of Christ, not only because it originates from him, but it's about him. It reveals him. It tells us of him. He is its core. Therefore, it cannot but be glorious, because it's the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why it's a glorious gospel, because it gives the light of the knowledge of that God in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so it's the whole message of the Son of God coming into the world for us sinners. It's the glory of his incarnation, God manifested in flesh. It's the glory of his person, the person of the Son of God, God and man, two natures in one person for us sinners. It's the glory of that person's work, and not only in coming, but in living for us on the earth, living a sinless life, being born under the law, and fulfilling all aspects of the law, living a sinless life, and yet dying in the stead of sinners as a substitutionary sacrifice upon the cross, in the sacrifice of his body and blood for our sins. It's a glorious message. It's the glory of the salvation that he himself has purchased. It's the glory of that great reconciliation that he has obtained in his death and in his sacrifice. It's the glory of the forgiveness of vile sins and of vile sinners through his grace. The riches of his grace, even the forgiveness of sins through his blood. It's the glory of the doctrine of substitution. All these things are wonderful. These aspects of the gospel are so wonderful that they make it to be glorious. When once it is perceived by faith, and when once the Saviour is believed in, we come to see that he is glorious. And it is glorious. The glory of simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Paul's right. It's glorious because of its divine origin. It's glorious because of its timeless duration. It's glorious because of its design and purpose. And it's glorious because it tells us of that Saviour who loved us and gave himself for us. But it's also glorious in its triumphs. Glorious in its power and its effectualness. Glorious in its success and in the fruit that it brings in the earth. This is another reason why it was so glorious to Paul. Why he wasn't ashamed of it. Because it was the power of God unto salvation. It was the power of God to everyone who believed in Christ, whether they were Jews or whether they were Gentiles. And Paul, because of the power of that gospel in his own life, and how he had seen it in the lives of so many others, he wasn't ashamed to speak of it before kings. It wasn't to him a weak, sickly thing. He had been subdued by it. It had triumphed in his life on the Damascus Road, though he had fought and resisted it. He was conquered by it. Grace subdued him. Love won him, and it won him fully. And he became a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. But it didn't only win him. It won multitudes, saved thousands on the day of Pentecost and on other occasions in the history of the early church. You remember, there's so many stories in the New Testament that tell of how that gospel won sinners. Lydia, whose heart was opened by the Lord, and that gospel shone in, and she was so transformed. And there were multitudes of Greeks and multitudes of Romans, as this gospel spread through the Roman Empire. And so the Apostle Paul, he saw this gospel establishing churches and changing society and changing lives from the east to the west. It's glorious because in it Christ goes forth conquering and to conquer. But it conquers not as the kingdoms of this world conquers. It conquers with the message. It melts with love. It subdues by humility. No Christian takes up the sword to extend this kingdom. No, rather, the sword of the Spirit is all that they use in the preaching of the gospel. There's nothing that has triumphed in this world like the gospel. For thousands of years, it has been winning souls just by the preaching of its glorious message. It has emptied heathen temples, not by force, but by persuasion. It has established worshippers of Christ in every land and nation and from all tongues. That's the power of it. It has changed society. It has built hospitals. It has erected universities. It has civilized so much of heathen societies. It has brought regeneration to the hearts of so many men and women. It has delivered the addict. It has delivered the down and out. It has loosed multitudes from their sins. That's the power of it. And its power can reach you. And its glory can shine into your heart if you come to faith and repentance and put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious gospel it is. Wonderful, just wonderful good news of the saving grace of God. Divine, gracious, wondrous, life-giving. Remember how Paul said, I have begotten you through the gospel. It made men and women new. It brought them life. Paul says the gospel of your salvation. He wrote that to the Ephesians. The gospel which saved you. The gospel which brought you peace. The blessings of the gospel he talks about in the epistle to the Romans. And let it shine. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Let it shine among the nations as he preaches it and as he proclaims it in the power of the Holy Spirit. This was the desire and this was the longing of the Apostle Paul. So the glorious gospel of Christ. Has it reached you? Have you been transformed by it? Do you believe it? Would you not ask the Lord, Lord, I've heard about this glorious gospel, but I have to confess, I don't see any beauty in Jesus. Wilt thou not open mine eyes, Lord, that I might see the beauty of thy Son? Wilt thou not set me free from the power of the God of this world and turn me unto thyself through faith in Jesus Christ? You need to be born again. You need a new heart. You need to have your eyes opened that the light of the glorious gospel of God might shine in. I pray that through it you might be brought to faith in the Son of God, who is the centre and the substance and the very core of that glorious good news. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. That's the glory of this gospel.